Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain, unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez-Sardina.
He is risen! The Lord is risen from the dead. That is the song of Christians. The Lord is risen, alleluia. He is truly risen, as he said, alleluia, alleluia. For centuries, Christians the world over have been celebrating the fact that Christ defeated death. He killed death. Death is dead. Life is alive. And Jesus is alive and well. And he is inviting each one of us, knocking at the door of our hearts, to enter in, to sup with us, to dine with us, to give us his very body and blood, soul and divinity as our food. Will you welcome him? Will you season it up? Will you enjoy this Easter Sunday, Easter octave, and Easter season, 50 days of glorious celebration, and come closer to Jesus to receive the new life that he has won for you? You are one by one, one who is God Almighty. Enjoy Easter, enjoy the resurrection, enjoy Jesus.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
Well, today on this great day, this Easter Sunday, we're beginning a brand new message series we're calling Brand New. As a parish, this is something we do and we love to do. We take a topic and over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, we look at the topic in detail. We dig down deep. This series will be a 5-week series that will run through the weekend of May 18th and 19th. So, if you're coming back to church for the first time in a long time, or for the first time ever, because you're completely new to church world, this is the perfect weekend to join us. You know, we love new people. We love new people because almost all of us almost always love new things. We do. Think about it. It can be small and simple things like a new can of tennis balls or a new pack of freshly sharpened pencils. It can be smart and stylish things like a new pair of shoes or your Easter Sunday outfit this morning. It can be big and bold, expensive things like a new kitchen or car. If you're into technology, there's brand new something or other coming your way, it seems, almost every single day. The brand new you love depends, of course, upon your taste, your personality, your style, your interest. Personally, I love the first day of spring or fall, the first day that it feels like a different season, a new season. I love watching as food is served at a really nice restaurant. I love opening a card that's just arrived in the mail, or a Christmas gift on Christmas Day. And what kid wasn't excited this morning to discover their Easter basket just waiting for them when they woke up? Not just because it's sweets and treats, but because it's new. We love the brand new. And we're regularly imagining, rarely are we not imagining, a brand new something. Something that will amuse us, entertain us, distract us. Something that will impact our kids, improve our marriage, change our lives. Bottom line, the brand new excites us because big or small, simple or expensive, brand new fills us with a certain sense of hope. Hope for a better future, even if it's only the immediate short-term future. Which brings us to the premise, the central argument for this whole series that we're kicking off today. That longing that you and I feel for new stuff, it's placed in our hearts by God, and for a reason, as we're going to see in a moment. To briefly take a closer look at this premise, we're going to turn to Scripture and a passage from a book of the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles tells the story of the early church, the first church, the church of Jesus' friends and followers that grew very quickly following that first Easter Sunday. And in this passage, we're introduced to a fellow who was a Roman centurion named Cornelius. Centurions were professional officers in the Roman army, sometimes commanding hundreds of soldiers. In other words, this was a very powerful man. But Scripture tells us he was also an honorable man who gave generously to assist the poor, and who even prayed daily. Though he was not religious in a traditional sense, and he was not a Christ follower. And as we learn in the course of this story, despite his accomplishments and success, this fella, Cornelius, was sort of searching. He was looking. He was wondering about more in life. He was looking for something more to life. He wanted something new. And maybe that describes you this morning. You're respected in your work. You're successful in your business. You feel like you live a good life. You're a good person. Maybe even a spiritual person in a sense. You seek to do the right thing by your friends and family. You care deeply about your kids. And yet, maybe you feel a little like Cornelius. Cornelius wanted something more, something new in his life. And that was his prayer. He prayed asking God to find it. And so one day, he received an answer to his prayer. He's led to seek out one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, the Apostle Peter, who is the head of the church. They meet, and it is Peter, a Jew, who initially has an important insight in this meeting with Cornelius, a Roman. Peter says, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." In meeting Cornelius, Peter suddenly understands something he did not understand before, that God wants a relationship with every single person. Up until that point, he thought, as most people did, that God was for religious people. God was for holy people. God was for church people. Same in our experience. A lot of insider church people assume that God is only willing to listen to and talk to and bless and favor, that God only wants a relationship with church people. But that's not the case. Scripture's pretty clear. God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. Good thing for us. He wants a relationship with you, no matter who you are. Peter continues. You know what happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Peter reminds Cornelius about the story of Jesus of Nazareth. He'd gone around doing good and great work, healing people who were sick or suffering in various ways. That probably wasn't news to Cornelius, because at that point, in that region of the world, everybody knew about Jesus of Nazareth. They knew about him because he was incredibly popular. He drew huge crowds wherever he went. People were attracted to him. People who were nothing like him liked him. People were drawn to his preaching and teaching because he taught with authority. That meant he knew what he was talking about. He knew how life worked. His preaching revealed intelligence and wisdom and wit, as well as profound insight. People were drawn to his magnificent, magnetic personality, his care and concern for others, especially the poor. He helped, he healed, he made life better for a lot of people. But he also challenged the status quo and the corruption of the religious leaders of his day who conspired to have him executed. Cornelius probably thought, like most people, that Jesus was a great prophet and a good pastor. Perhaps he was sad to hear of his death, but as a Roman, it didn't really have anything to do with him. Same for us. If Jesus Christ was just a good person or even a great prophet, his death doesn't really have anything to do with us. And that's why the next two verses of this passage are so important. Peter says something completely and utterly shocking that would have completely and utterly shocked Cornelius. Peter says, this man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead. To which Cornelius must have been thinking, wait, what? After he rose from the dead? After he rose from the dead. You know, in the ancient world, in Greek and Roman philosophy, people were understood as a composite of body and soul. And death of soul was released from the body and traveled to the land of the dead, referred and described in various places in different ways depending upon the philosophy or the mythology in question. But all agree that death destroyed the body and death was final. It had the final say. And that was understood as a good thing, since their philosophies considered the body bad, prone to corruption and decay. The highest aspiration of the soul was to enjoy release and liberation from the body. Jewish theology, on the other hand, was simply inconsistent regarding what happens after death. The question was, in fact, a source of deep debate and conflict among the religious leaders of the time. And then, Along comes Jesus. Along comes Jesus and smashes through everybody's arguments and philosophies and theologies. The gospel describes three separate occasions in which Jesus astonishes and astounds everybody by raising the dead. He literally raised the dead. The final time being the raising of his friend Lazarus, an event so sensational, so spectacular, that it sets in motion all the events that would lead to his arrest and death. His enemies convinced that he had to be stopped, otherwise he would overturn the entire political and religious system of their day. He had to be stopped, and the only way to do it was to kill him, and so they did. Now, Peter describes to Cornelius an even more sensational, an even more spectacular event. Jesus himself is raised from the dead. An event unexpected, unprecedented, unparalleled. An event that simply, absolutely introduces a new time, a new era in human history. Before the resurrection, death is the ultimate, final reality. After the resurrection, Christ is the ultimate and final reality. And what God did with his son, God wants to do with you too. But here's the difference. God raised his son from the dead beginning with a bodily resurrection. God begins differently with you and me because he doesn't want to wait for us to die. He wants to get started now, today, right away. God begins by changing us from the inside out. God starts by changing our minds, our thoughts and our thinking, our hearts and our habits, our soul and our spirit. Christ is the ultimate and final reality. And therefore, by extension, life in Christ is the ultimate and final reality. And that life begins not after death in some other place, but here, now, in this place, or whatever place we find ourselves in. When we feel that longing for something more, for something different, for something new, it's a feeling placed in our hearts by God. Whatever new thing we are longing for, we think we're longing for, the kitchen, the car, the vacation, the trip, whatever new thing we're longing for, whether we know it or not, what we're really longing for, what we're ultimately longing for is Christ. We're longing for a relationship with Jesus Christ, who alone can renew us and lead us to a new way of life. Elsewhere, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. God makes us new in Christ. Whoever you are, however old you are, whatever stage or state of life you're in, whatever you've done, whatever you do, whatever your faults or failures, your missteps, your mistakes, God makes you new in Christ. It's his gift. You don't earn it. You can never, ever deserve it. It's his gift to you. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a part to play. You know, if someone gives you a gift, that doesn't mean you have no responsibility for it or you do nothing with it. You neglect it. You avoid it. You ignore it. It's just the opposite. How you use a gift that's given to you determines its value, determines its worth, determines its benefit, and what difference it can make in your life. God gives us the gift of new life, new kind of living in Christ. What we do with that gift is up to us. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at that together some more. That's what this series is all about. And if something is stirring in your heart, if something is saying to you today, I want that. I want more. I don't even know what that is, but I want more. Then think about joining us for this for this series. You got two options to make it easy. You can join us here on our Ridgely Road campus in the coming weeks, or you can join us on our online campus. Check out our website for service times for both campuses. The story of Cornelius and Peter ends with Cornelius and his household being baptized, the first Gentiles to be baptized in the history of the church. The story ends in the waters of baptism. Cornelius embraces the good news of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, his baptism, a public sign of his new life, joining his life to Christ's life, a whole new start for him. Did you know that every Easter Sunday, along with millions of Christians throughout the world, we return to a very ancient tradition? Those who have been baptized are invited to renew the promises of their baptism, and then we sprinkle you with water, but not just any water. It's the water that was blessed by the bishop last night at the Easter vigil, the water of baptism, the sacramental water. And every effort will be made to get you as wet as possible. My guys are on it. Even if you're not baptized, you can participate too. It doesn't matter. You certainly don't have to, but you're welcome to. It's a way of recommitting or even committing for the very first time to a loving relationship with the living Lord. It's a way to connect to Jesus Christ and his power to live a new kind of life. You're seriously welcome to just sit this one out. No guilt, no pressure, no dirty looks, no kidding. But if you decide to stand and recommit, it just might give you a new perspective. Maybe even a brand new start.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.